So I want to take you, just give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more. We've talked about your view of prosecutors. We haven't talked about, you know, the daily grind of being in the case, discovery disputes about documents that should be disclosed to the defense, exculpatory evidence.
I was warned about this. Yeah.
Well, no, I give them to you just as an opportunity to comment because we would all hope that there would be improved and better systems in the. We never want another tribunal, but if there is one, you know, do you have impressions that you would want to tell us now that might be accessible to researchers in the future?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so ideal case, and let's not even talk about whether the case is good or not, but ideal management of the case. It's a well-pleaded indictment, which actually tells you what evidence is going to be brought, not one which is written before any of the witnesses are interviewed. There's timely disclosure of that evidence on which the indictment was based. This is stuff that's basic, right? But none of this has happened. I mean, this is stuff you would think is 101. None of this has happened. There would be timely disclosure of the witnesses on which the indictment was based. Those witnesses would then be brought. There would actually be a coherence to the prosecution case where you wouldn't have their own witnesses contradicting each other. So they would think about that before they wrote the indictment. They would disclose that. They would continue to disclose if any new material came up, rather than bringing the same witness to another case and not telling the defense in the bizarre hope that they won't find out, despite a specific rule and innumerable jurisprudence which says you have a continuous duty to disclose all exculpatory material. They would, you know, put that case, then we would put our case, and they would cross-examine without trying to bring in new material and expand their case, and we would be finished, and hopefully there'd be a reasonable judgment, and I'd be happy, whether, you know, I'd be much happier if I won, but, you know, that would actually be something, so you don't end up fighting ridiculous battles, which you don't even know how to, you know, how do you say, for example, a motion filed this week, prosecution's closing brief is over. We find out that a very important witness came in another case. Here's a witness, which was recalled, who said he had lied on behalf of the prosecution, said that this chap lied. Actually, we conspired together to lie. The prosecution then opposed a wide investigation into this conspiracy to perjure, basically, as I call it, saying that, no, only one witness has lied, the one who's come back, so we should limit the investigation, while they were in possession of this material. Now, the grind is, you know, now we have to fight for something, right? So it creates a lot of paperwork, and it's not battles which are, you know, you're right, it's just paperwork, you just got to go through the whole process. You know?
Is there anything else that, you know, now that you have an opportunity to speak your mind on what's happened here, either in your own experience or how you might you might say to someone who would sit in the same chair as you in another tribunal, what should they prepare for? What should be the mindset that they would have in going about their work and trying to represent their client fairly and zealously?
I mean, to really, there's a Peter who you will interview, I think, perhaps Peter Robinson. You know, I call his approach the burn every bridge while you retreat. I don't know whether that's necessarily the best approach, but sometimes you have to, because don't assume that the other side is going to play it straight. You know, you just got to really be wary of every single thing, and don't assume that even though the rules say something is going to happen, it's going to happen. So everything has to be sort of fought on, every single thing, which is. So it's not just, you know, entering code, looking at the witness statements and cross-examining them and having regular. You've got to sort of really look at, not that you should look for conspiracies, but we have evidence of conspiracies hatched in prisons to, you know, with the connivance of Rwandan authorities to actually bring false evidence. I mean, you know, that's the level of, there was an interview sometime, I think it was Peter again, which basically said that nobody is telling the truth, neither the prosecution witnesses, the defense witnesses, which is very cynical, but to some extent, you have to be wary of the fact that a lot of the evidence we've had after a long time, I'm talking about oral evidence, is very, very problematic. So how do you build truth in that perspective?
That's what we all seek, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me just ask you as a final question. You're a young guy. You've been here.
Not so young.
Yeah, you're a young guy. You worked as a business development person in the corporate world in the U.S.
Yeah. Germany, U.S.
Yeah, that's great. But you came here really right after law school. I mean, you really did, because you did your internship and you came here. This is your work as a lawyer. I had another case
while I was doing this too. So I was on two cases, the Sierra Leone one.
Yes, right. But your world, from having been in the corporate world, has become an international. Mm-hmm. You're an international lawyer, international criminal defense lawyer.
This is an
amazing thing, and your career may change. How it probably will. Who knows? We all do, right? But if you look back on this time here, and let's say you went back to the corporate world and you were in-house counsel for, Volkswagen, and you really, really liked it, but every once in a while, as you sat at your desk, your pen tapped, and your mind went back to Arusha, what will you think about? And what does it mean in your life, personally and as a lawyer?
You know, this is the hard question. I mean, to be honest, I mean, Arusha's, they're very good memories in terms of work and otherwise. You know, it is something, and again, as you said, people looking at this are going to be like, how can you say this? It's a tragedy of immense magnitude. This is really what one wants to work on, is fighting that. Now, so that's sort of the positive. The negative, the amount of time done, time spent, sorry, on this. I just want to make sure, I would really have liked the prosecutor and other people. I'm not saying I'm that competent, but to be competent, so they could raise my game too. Because that would have made it, I think, would have made me less cynical, would have made the process less cynical. Because then all right, yes, it is something which is interesting. It is something which is of a magnitude that requires respect, and respect comes from competence, people doing their jobs properly. But, it's very hard to maintain that when there's just things being let go all the time. So, that's the sort of, I always feel, in the back of my mind that you're going to get associated with something which was, in the end, people are going to say, yeah, but that quality of jurisprudence at that tribunal, this was just terrible or something like that. That's because one has spent 5 years, 1/7 of my life here.
Thank you very much.
I hope it was helpful. Thank you.
Well,